Thank you very much. So we spent the last 15 months thinking about all the problems that could be caused by a piece of e-legislation. At the same time, we were trying to think in a positive sense, what could we do to get something positive? How could we have something useful? And so one idea that I started thinking about was an EU FOSS Act. However, after discussing this with a few people, I agreed this is not the time for an EU FOSS Act. It's not certain that it would get done correctly. So I just added a little bit of punctuation there to get myself out of that one. So the idea is, when we saw the CRA and we saw that it was a very long document with a single paragraph about free and open source software, we started thinking about, you know, is this the right way to do legislation? Free and open source software has been getting bigger and bigger over the past few years, and so I looked for a few studies, and one study found that 76% of code bases are free software, and this could be biased in favor of free software because how do they get access to these code bases, but the same report also said 96% of the code bases contain free software, so you could imply from this that also some of the code bases that were not available would also contain free software. So that another way of counting it was by ENISA, which is partly funded by the European Commission, so there's some legitimacy there. And that is that the average IT application is 70% open source components. And this number, it may be higher today because that was a 2019 number. And it also concluded that this was already a doubling since 2014. So the actual number for 2023, 2024 could already be a lot higher than that. So what we're trying to think about is, in future, if legislation was to be written, is there a way we could ensure that the drafting matches the reality, which today is that free and open source software should be the assumption? We should have texts that regulate software with us in mind, and there should be a little paragraph at the top. If you happen to decide that you absolutely must keep your source code secret, then you have separate obligations, but the default should be free and open source software. So The CRA was a lot of work. We heard from the Commission on Thursday that, you know, they put out a call for input, and they got, you know, over 100 responses, and only two of them mentioned free and open source software. So Open Forum Europe was one of the people who responded. I scanned the response. I couldn't find the other one. If anyone knows who it was, interested. But the thing is, the response, the input we gave was on a fairly generic proposal. You know, we're going to do something in this domain, and we gave a generic response of, well, be careful. And so this is, you know, all we can do if we don't have the specifics of what is actually going to be regulated. Now, possibly due to the input we gave, or due to other people's input, there was this one paragraph in the CRA, and it was very useful. It gave us a starting point to have conversations. This one paragraph later got turned into pages and pages of text to improve the situation. But, you know, it was interesting that the CRA got written, and then after the drafting of the CRA, during 15 months of negotiations and meetings, the actual provisions that will affect free software got written. So what we were thinking of is what would be the principles which we would like to see in the way legislation is written in the European Union. And so one is that we would like the topic to be discussed at an earlier stage, you know, in detail. And so, you know, preferably with all the people in this room, preferably in the most public way possible. But there are also internal bodies in the European Commission. The European Commission has an open source program office, an OSPO, and maybe, and I don't want to hand them too much work, but maybe they could be consulted either to comment on the content or, you know, to be asked who should we be talking to. They currently have two staff, maybe that could be more. The question then is also raised of, you know, when we want to consult, when we want to talk about, you know, how will this impact FOSS, you know, who do we phone? And it's true, this, you know, there is not a single industry association, and it's not even an industry. So it is a difficult thing. However, we also have to try. And so first off, European Commission coming to FOSSDEM last year, this year, it's a fantastic step, and it's a fantastic way for them to get a feeling for who is actually behind all this software. But the we are made up of small entities, and they need funding if they're going to participate in any of the, all these meetings and all these procedures. And you know, this already complicates the way we work together. At the same time, there are instruments in the European institutions that could be used. So there are high-level expert groups for certain ICT and standardization topics, and there are multi-stakeholder platforms, and maybe there should or could be one for free and open source software. The second thing is that things should be clarified earlier. And so at the moment, you know, the text of the CRA is complete. However, we're now going into 2.5, maybe 3.5 years of negotiating 44 different standards with standard organizations where we're not well represented. It could be useful to have certain assurances that we will be taken into account, and that taking into account this category of software, which is the majority, should be a basic principle. And so this could go into the general text of the legislation, and then specifically on standards, rather than a definition of open standards in the EU legal system, which says that if the standard is developed in an open process, it's an open standard, which leads to standards which we may not have access to. We don't know if we will have access to these standards that we can't implement in free and open source software. And so the this idea of open standards, freely implementable standards, needs to be thought of in terms of patents, in terms of technologies, in terms of compatibility with our development and our business procedures. So with these, we hope that we would at the least... Well, we hope that we will get access to all these standards, and we hope that we will be able to use them. These things can be clarified in Regulation 125 is up for review, and maybe this is somewhere we can put these suggestions in. So, in summary, what I wanted to say is that what we're hoping will happen is that the European institutions will discuss early and clarify early, and that would help us out a lot. But from our side, we also have to figure out what exactly we're asking them to do. And when we're talking to specific people, we have to make sure that we're asking those people to do something that is within their power. And so from our side, there's also, if we want to get to the stage where we could trust the EU institutions to write an EU FOSS Act, we also have to improve the way we interact and make sure that we're asking for the right things and giving them the right input. With that... when I'm chairing meetings, I'm quite strict with timekeeping, and I like to eat my own dog food, so I'm going to cut myself off, and thank you all very much.